Okay. The holy Baal Shem Tov, prior to his passing, was very much aware of what's happening. And you find by people who are facing their end, if they are cognitive, what they do then is extremely significant. Most people like to be with the families. Many people would want to exclusively be with their families. And every now and then you find by great Jewish leaders, their commitment to the people that when they were to pass away, they wanted to pass away amongst the people. The fifth Chabad Rebbe, who was very much aware that he's about to pass away, his family was with him. And Mamash, at the end, he asked to be taken into the synagogue to be with everyone. The Baal Shem Tov was that way. The Baal Shem Tov passed away on Shavuos. He was aware that he's about to pass away. And that was a choice. He wanted to pass away amongst the Chevra. And the Baal Shem Tov was very inclusive. Everyone. And he took a look around. He saw who was there. And he passed away when he finished saying a story. And it was like a story. It's like a made-up story. And as he's saying the story, the people in the room, they understood that he's telling them their story, what will happen to them until the end of their life. It was like my divine inspiration. Can you imagine? And he's talking and talking, and people were thinking, maybe that's me, maybe that's the guy over there. Clear but not clear. And when he finished the story, he passed away. And whoever was in that room, when they would meet each other, they would ask each other in Yiddish, where are you up to in the story? You know, the Alter Rebbe met the Baal Shem Tov, but he did not meet the Baal Shem Tov, meaning he was not a disciple of the Baal Shem Tov. There was a big age gap. The Alter Rebbe's teacher was the Magid of Mezrich. When the Magid passed away, his son, we called him Avraham the Angel, became his Rebbe. When Avraham the Malach passed away, Menachem Mendel of Haradok became the third and final Rebbe of the Alter Rebbe. Menachem Mendel Haradok was in that room, even though he was probably the youngest, but he was in the room, so he was part of the story. In 1777, by the Goyish calendar, many Hasidic Rebbes decided to fulfill the mitzvah of settling the Holy Land, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There was no way you could make a living then living in Israel. There were tens of thousands of Jews that went together. But the way they did it was, is that the Jews that stayed behind made a partnership, who was supporting whom. And they called that tzedakah kolel koilel hachasidim. Stam, parenthetically, today people use the word kolel for people sit and learn after they get married. The word koilel means a corporation where many are included. A marriage is a koilel. It's a joke that we say, you know, I went to the koilel. I was in the koilel. The guy was at home. He says, yeah, I was in that koilel. I mean, we're not individuals. We are part of things that are bigger than us, and we have responsibilities towards it. And there was a koilel al-chassidim, and then there was a good machlekes, l'shem shamayim. How many people should be supported? I know I'm being recorded, and I don't mean this in any not positive way. There are certain charities that are exclusive. And the Alter Rebbe wanted for that koilel to be inclusive. Just as an example, there's a great charity in the city that I proudly give money every month, that they only give money to people that are Shomer Shabbos. They give food. It's a food charity, and they give food, you have to be Shomer Shabbos. And when I moved from Brazil, I was so angry at it. What do I mean? A Yid, I came from a Chabad house, and the answer is, you want to give food to all the Jews, you do it. They have the right to say they want to give it to people that are Shomer Shabbos. The Alter Rebbe wanted for the monies to be distributed differently. And he made a new koilel called Koilel Chabad. Koilel Chabad is the oldest Chabad organization. It's a tzedakah organization. I'm sure, the Rebbe wanted for people to have in their home pushkas, kollel Chabad. The Rebbe wants us to give money every year. It was founded by the Alter Rebbe. It's a soup kitchen. That's what it is. It's a soup kitchen to everyone, inclusive. Doesn't matter your level of observance. It both has locations. And when it comes to receiving food, I know that when people are needy, when you need, you need. And when you need, you go and get what you could. And then there is, the people that are not familiar to that type of neediness and the humiliation and the greater tzedakah to deliver food to them, which is a lot nicer if you can do that. Anyways, the Kollel Chabad is until today. All I'm saying is that when they went to Israel in 1777, the biggest rebbes went. Menachem Mendel of Haradok, the Alter Rebbe's Rebbe, Avram Kalisker, Yisrael Polotsker, all these big names, big. And the Alter Rebbe's Rebbe was going, so the Alter Rebbe says, I'm also going. He wasn't going because of the mitzvah of settling in Israel. He was going to be with his Rebbe. The challenge with that is that when you have the leadership, people that are great people, all going to the Holy Land, not all the Jews are moving. Who is going to be with the Jews that are staying behind? And the Menachem Mendel Haradoker told the Alter Rebbe, you should stay behind. They need you in Russia. He told the Rebbe, I'm going where you're going. I'm not going to be you. I need a Rebbe. You're going, I'm going. I know that our generation was educated, that you do what the Rebbe tells you. There were certain other types of Hasidim that they wouldn't always do what the Rebbe would tell them. And they're great people. The Alter Rebbe told his Rebbe, I have to be with you. You are telling me to stay behind. I need to be with you. And he began to go together with him. They came to a city called Pulna'a. And in that, the Rav of the city was a Jew by the name of Yaakov Yosef Pulna'a. He was going to be the successor of the Baal Shem Tov. He was in the room when the story was told. He was such an ancient Jew that his eyebrows became so long that it covered his eyes. You have that by many tzaddikim. And they were happy with that because they lived in a different universe where you can't live here and live there at the same time. Now, we are meant to live here, but these people were 100 years old. They were perfectly fine in not seeing anything. If they needed to see something, they would ask someone to help them with their eyebrow. Rabbi Yochanan did that. You see in the Gemara, these people, the first Belzer Rebbe had that. Mamash, the first Belzer Rebbe, or one of them, were unable to see. Parenthetically, not the first. One of the Belzer Rebbes, when he went to Germany before the war for a certain medical treatment, our Rebbe, who looked so modern then, who was in the university, heard that the Belzer Rav is in Berlin, the Rebbe went to greet him. And when he would greet people, you also had these eyebrows. They didn't see anyone, and he would have a towel. He didn't want to touch anyone's hand. And when the Rebbe walked by him, the Rebbe shook his hand through the towel. He stopped, took off the towel.
Who took off the towel?
The Belzer Rav took off his towel. He grabbed it and he picked up his eyebrow. He looked at the Rebbe and he says, whose are you? You know, this is a big Jew. And the Rebbe says, I'm a chassid of the Friedrich Rebbe. That's it. Didn't even say his name. I belong to another Rebbe. So Yaakov Yosef Pulna'a saw Menachem Mendel Haradok. They were both in the story. So he asks Menachem Mendel, oh, Shalom Aleichem, where are you in the story? So he says that I'm from the group, we're going to Israel. So Yaakov Yosef Pulna'a asked him, and who is the young man that the Baal Shem Tov spoke about, whose Torah is shining from one end of the world to the other? Who is he? Because he was mentioned in the story. That was the Alter Rebbe. So he says, he's with me. So he says, pick up my eyebrows, I want to see him. And he looked at the Alter Rebbe, who was very young. And he called him in. And he convinced the Alter Rebbe to stay in Russia. He told the Alter Rebbe that you are needed to be, your mission is to stay here. And he got through to him and the Alter Rebbe stayed there. Why am I sharing this story? I'm sharing this story because we are all on a journey. And God, with God's wisdom, did not let us know exactly where our journey is taking us for a good reason. You know, there's this joke, a good joke, a bad joke. There's a joke that there was a guy sitting on a train, and next to him was someone that was very thirsty, and he was a nudge. Oh, I'm thirsty. On the train then, you needed, water was a commodity. But the guy was such a nudnik, so he decided just to make this guy be quiet, he shared his water. So the guy made a bracha, drank the water, and then he said, oi, was I thirsty. Oi, was I thirsty. He stayed a nudnik. Which, that's, in other words, that it's bad enough, the challenges of the moment. But there are also good moments. What do we, the chachamim, do? We go back to the past bad moment, and when it's good now, we begin to remember all of the tzaddas, how we were thirsty. So at least enjoy today. No, we contaminate the present with the past. I spoke about a Shabbos. Sometimes it's a mitzvah to do it the right way. But if you do it the wrong way, it was already bad yesterday. But that's, imagine if we would know tomorrow's tzaddas. Life would be one big misery. We would be thinking about yesterday, what my mother-in-law told me. We'll be thinking about the tzaddah that's going to happen tomorrow. And it's better not to know. It's better not to know. Having said that, let's go to the story of the Baal Shem Tov. We don't have to know the details, but it's important to know what we are up against. It's important. Not that I have to deal with, if the bill is due next month, I don't have to worry about it today. But I think it's good for me to know that on the 1st, I'm going to need it, and I don't have the money. Not that I should be tzitzitting today. It's good to have some sort of map, some vague map, and God gives it to us. You know, Eilam Asa B'nei Yisrael, and the Torah recounts the 42 steps in the journey. There's a lot of wisdom there. You know, the Baal Shem Tov says that every Jew goes through these journeys. And you figure it out. Mamish, you read the name, understand Hebrew better, understand, look, Chadil Chap, I think I already went through this journey. And by the way, some journeys we went back to. Sometimes we do something, but we didn't mamish do it, gavaldik. So God gives us another opportunity. That's the same challenge again. My father used to sell curtains. Every now and then, the buyer would give back the curtains. He would be happy. Say, oh, I get to sell it twice. He wasn't getting paid twice. But sometimes you have to redo what you did. You can look at it, oh my God, back there. Or, I was there, I did it. God is giving me an opportunity to do it better. And these 42 trips, they're not new. Some of them were old, but we got the opportunity to redo. And sometimes we don't have. We did whatever we could, and now we have to move on. When it comes to journeying in life, the pasuk ends, Eilam Masa B'nei Yisrael, these are the journeys of the B'nei Yisrael, that left Mitzrayim, Biyad Moshe V'Aharon. Biyad Moshe V'Aharon, who took us out of Egypt? God. See? And people that are familiar with the temporarily non-Hasidic world, one of the things that they have a hard time with Hasidim is the Rebbe. Everything the Rebbe. God. Eilam Asa B'nei Yisrael, etc. That we left Egypt, Biyad Hashem. Isn't God the runner of the world? Yes, He is. And yet, no, Biyad Moshe V'Aharon. We left in the hand of Moshe V'Aharon. So there's a beautiful maimed of the Alter Rebbe. I think we shared it here a few years ago. I just have another way of explaining it, a very, very important ideas that are important about our journey. So I just want to repeat one nekuda of the Alter Rebbe, that are two journeys, and they're not either or. Belush in the crazy world today, it's not binary, it's both. There is the journey of what we need to accomplish in the world. And then there is a journey of what we need to accomplish with ourselves. And we have both journeys. And sometimes we are more into the world. Sometimes al hacheshbon, sometimes almost by neglecting the inner journey. Sometimes we are focused on the inner journey, almost al hacheshbon, not doing our duties in the outer world. But in the bigger picture, it's two different journeys. two different journeys. And now let me use words that I was gone last week, and in the beautiful nature of God's world, and certain ideas I was listening to, like good, I have new words of new understandings. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehachol Nir V'Dvarim. So using the model of the Alter Rebbe, there is part of our journey in which we are fully responsible for. Not that it's easy, but it's truthful to say that it's in my hands. And the part of my journey that's in my hands is that which I do, the choices that I make. It's big, but it's not everything. And the choices that I make, specifically action-oriented choices. Included is words that I choose to speak, but let's speak about what I do. So if there's something in front of me, the right way to do it, the wrong way to do it, I have a lot of power. I really have all of the power. I determine. Now, sometimes it's a big nisayon, and sometimes it's very difficult. I'm not saying that it's easy, but it's not wrong for me to say the emes, that God gave it to me. It's in my hand. This was part of my journey, is me taking responsibility, doing the right thing or not doing when not doing is the right thing. That's biyadi. And that's where, don't go to God, don't go to the tzaddik. No, you do it. It's your job. When it comes to that which is deeper than what I'm doing, all of the wirings, like why is it challenging for me? What's going on inside of me? Generally, the way I feel about things, generally the way I understand things, that's not fully up to me. It's not fully up to me. I need to have a higher power to help me. Mamish. It's not that I have no responsibility, but it's not, I'm not in control. It's like a kolo. There's my part, and there's, and in that, you have certain tzaddikim that forever, Moshe Rabbeinu lived many years ago, but forever there are seven shepherds, and each one is an neshama that inspires until today and helps us in certain areas. So there is the leaving of Egypt, that's my responsibility, and there is the journeys leaving Egypt, that's Biyad Moshe Ve'Aaron, and let me share like this. Okay, so let's just use that as a premise and go from there. There's something that the psychological world calls coping mechanisms. What's a coping mechanism? That when people face something that's very difficult, people, when they're younger, have a very hard time dealing with that which is overwhelming. And we all know this from our lives. From our lives, if what was overwhelming 20 years ago will come your way, it won't overwhelm you because you grew. You became a bigger person. When you're not overwhelmed, the chances of you reacting or acting better is up. Right? When you're overwhelmed, it's almost like when, you know, the computer freezes. Like, I'm overwhelmed. People say, ich kenn nicht, because they feel overwhelmed. Life doesn't allow us always to be overwhelmed, right? Maybe you get to take a day off. God willing, when you get married, ain't no day off. Like, there's no day off. And if a person has a business, there's no day off. Yes and no. I know yes and no, but I'm saying life, the older we get, one of the challenges is that, oh my God, there is no day off. Even vacation is not such a vacation. That's why after you come back from a vacation, you have to go on vacation. Some people here are very good at this. They go on vacation constantly because every vacation is to vacate from the previous vacation, right? That's really what's happening. Because if you'd have a great vacation, one would be enough. Well, I just pass it on to the, all right. I'm talking to myself because I was gone last week with Steri, and we're going away for 2 days. I'm nearby with the kids. But I'm saying, vacation, not a vacation. Okay. Baruch Hashem. Thank you, God. So listen to this. Listen to this. Let me share with you. I'm sharing Gevaldik insight from Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg. He correlates. Yeah. These are the three most foundational coping mechanisms with the three worlds called Asiya, Yetzira, and Bria. I love this because we learn a lot. We hear about these words. We don't know what they mean. Certain words that we learn, people who are reading words get a much better understanding of it when you see it from a new angle. Ah. The world of Asiya is the world of action. The world of action. In the world of action, what counts is what you do or don't do. You did it or you didn't do it. And there was doing the right thing and doing the wrong thing. So let's use the words. In the world of action, you can be innocent or be guilty. Actually, when there's a din toira between two people, you know what words the beis din uses? You are zakai, you're chayef. In other words, when you're looking at the external world, did you do it? Did you do that? Are you innocent or are you guilty? Guilt is overwhelming. Guilt and shame are the same. Just to know. Guilt and shame is overwhelming.
The same level? Or the same thing?
It's two sides of the same counterfeit coin.
Yeah, but it's not the same thing.
Not the same thing, but there it's a good shidduch. It's a shidduch. Guilt and shame. I know we're not talking about there's good guilt, there's bad guilt, there's good shame, there's bad shame. Guilt and shame are emotions that could be very overwhelming. I'm speaking about unhealthy coping mechanisms, but we do it without effort. One of the inborn coping mechanisms of guilt is what? Repression. Repressing the feeling. If it doesn't feel good, you repress it. Shove down the feeling. Distract yourself from it. Look at that. Don't look here, look there. Repression. There are times that would be the best solution possible. All of these coping mechanisms are not inherently bad, but we repress feelings. Why do we repress feelings? Because it's overwhelming. I don't want to deal with it. I repress it. And it's amazing how powerful it can be. I want you to know, in my opinion, that one of the reasons why we have bad memories, my memory is not so good. I think people that have emotions that when they were younger, it overwhelmed them, the solution would be to forget. Forgetting is repression. People mamash forget. If God forbid, I'm saying just an extreme, if something horrible happened to a person, they mamash forget. They forget. They forget because what happened to them was so aggressive, was so horrible. The way they can survive is by forgetting. We'll leave that. We'll give another class about that. It means in front of God's throne, there's no forgetfulness. And we can all get there. We can stop forgetting, but we have to know how to cope differently. But let's speak about repression. Repression is the bad coping mechanism. Not always bad, but it's something that we have to look at. Because when a person will allow oneself to feel guilt or shame, which is very, very uncomfortable, but if we would be able to cope with it, it would serve us good. Because Hashem created all of us in a way, it's amazing, that we know from within what is right and what's wrong. All of us. It means if I do something that is not kosher, even if I didn't read it in the book, I'm going to feel guilt or shame. The problem is that I might feel guilt and shame, no fault on my own. That's the problem. Like you take a kid that was molested, or a teenager that was molested, they feel guilt and shame. It wasn't their fault. I'm saying that's lo pashut. But just to know that the greatness of a person being able to cope with very uncomfortable feelings generally is very healing. Not feeling good is the healing. Feeling what is. Feeling what is, knowing what is. So the coping mechanism of the world of Asiya is repression. The world of Yetzirah is the world of feelings. So if in the world of action there's like innocent and guilty, how would you word the feelings of Yetzirah? If you want to make it just simple, what do you think are the two most powerful feelings? You knew. Love and hate. I didn't make this up. I'm not the big chacham. This is what it says in the books. It's Ava and Yira, love and hate are the two most powerful feelings. Yes, there is a place to hate. Just to make it for the record. It says, Oyhavei Hashem Sinura. There's a very little area in which hate is something that's good. Generally, the idea is to be in the loving state and not in a hateful state. Being that it's difficult to cope with ourselves, if I'm in a hateful place, what do I do? What's the coping mechanism for love and hate? Projection. Which means, simple, when Moshe Rabbeinu told us that we are not going to enter Israel, the whole story with the spies. So when it's described in Parshas Devarim, you know what it says? It says that when the spies came back and they told us that we can never enter the land of Israel, you know what we said? We said collectively that it was from God's hate to us that he took us out of Egypt to tell us to go over there and take Eretz Canaan when it's impossible, it's so difficult to live in Israel with all of the tzaddis, with the Hamas and Hezbollah. We said that it's only because God hates us. If God would have loved us, he would have given us a land with a lot of petroleum, with peace. We accuse God of hating us. We actually believe that God hated us. You know why? Because we were feeling feelings of hate to God. But it's very difficult to own the fact I hate God. I'm an observant Jew. But I have hate. So what do? You hate me. Machaya. We all do this. We're not aware of it. The Gemara says, this is way before. The Gemara says, as a rule, what you think someone feels about you, probably that's what you feel about them. I feel some spears coming my way. Yeah, that's because you have some spears pointing towards them. And we won't even see it. Projection is a huge distortion. It's what we do when we cannot cope with what we term to be negative feelings. Repression is I feel guilt, but then I repress it. I forget about it. Projection is, this is something that happens much deeper. I don't want to deal with that feeling. But I don't have that feeling. You have that feeling towards me. Machaya. I'm out. I'm potter. I'm betzadik. Bria is connected to the world of understanding. Understanding. And the classic coping mechanism in the world of your mind is denial. Mazed denial. Give a great example. Denial, a mashal, would be that if for you to react, for you to have any reaction, you have to know what you're reacting towards, correct? A reaction, you don't begin with the reaction. Feelings are all reactions. Oh, I like this, I hate this, I want this, I don't want this. But what is? What is this? So let's speak about a language. Imagine someone gave you a book and every third letter they wrote in a language you don't understand. And your solution is not English, Japanese. You know what you do? You know what I do? If we don't understand Japanese, we just skip it. And then we make sense of the whole book without the Japanese. I read the book. I know what it says here. No, you don't. You skipped every third word. Whatever it is that you understood is not the meaning of the author. You didn't mean b'chal that. But we deny our ignorance. It's very humiliating to say, I don't understand. I understand. How can you even make a choice? How can you make a choice in life if you don't have all the information? How would you do that? Asking a simple question. If you have to make a choice, but you don't have the information, can you make the choice?
But that's how we live. There's a lot of things that we don't know.
By Shiduchim, yeah, but we don't go with the knowledge that we really, really don't know. We deny our ignorance, and we think we know. All of the Shiduchim phone calls for me is that. You think you're going to call up someone and they're going to give you information and you're going to know?
I know.
You know nothing minus. You know nothing. But we do it because how else? We have to do something. I get it. I'm not saying you shouldn't make the phone call. But making a phone call and getting information and thinking, you're pushing in denial. You're in denial of how complicated people are, how little you know yourself. How little other knows from you, you don't know. We are in denial that we pashut don't understand what's going on. Because to know that we're ignorant is too overwhelming, and also it's freezing. Then what should I do? So how should I live? Tell me how to live. I have to do the best that I could, but if the best that I could is really, really, really bad. Put a teenager in a class. Why do many people leave yeshiva? Put them in a class and they're not getting anything. They're not understanding this. They're not understanding that. So they're going to leave. Making them stay there is cruel because I don't understand anything. So what do you want from me? Why should I be in a place to a certain degree? That's our lives. You know what the text of the text is everything that's happening to us. Who's writing it? God. Am I understanding the text? The denial is denying my ignorance, thinking I understand. That's the denial. Not accepting that we understand very, very, very little. We think we understand.
Are you referring to our lives?
Yes. We're looking at everything wrong. Just give me, like in the big, it's not, we're not missing every third word. It's like much worse than that, which is very overwhelming. It's overwhelming. You know, when the Alter Rebbe has such a beautiful example that everything that you see, we don't see God, right? We don't see God. But everything that you see, you're seeing God's garments. Really take that in. Every movement of the trees, you're not seeing God, but you're seeing God's movement. You're just looking at a garment of God. Actually, people that live in that universe, I can say the words and I believe it now. I really believe it now. I don't live there. Who lives there? I wish I knew a person who lives there. Like a tzaddik lives there, like a rebbe lives there. Like the world is God's garment. It's a whole different world. Sometimes we can rise to the occasion if something very challenging happens. So we have to like really force. That means we're not there. Now I believe it's God's doing. And then it still hurts me because I don't really believe that. I just say I believe that. You know, the struggles, the normal struggles that we have, we don't know. We push it, don't know. We don't understand what's happening. When things are experienced to us as good, so then it's easy for us to say, yeah, this is God's world, because yeah, it makes sense, because it's good. But the moment things are not good, or they are experienced to be really not good, we don't see this to be God's world. I mean, we are not survivors of the Holocaust. I would not say this to a survivor, but that we believe that was God's doing. Oh my God, well, who's Hitler is nothing. God's world. I say these words many times. I'm so far away from, at least to know that I'm far away from it. And since I'm far away from it, I don't understand what's happening. My understanding is very, very little. Like this mashal, you hear a language, you understand every 10th word. Are you going to think you understood? You go to China, you go to these countries that have a different language and go watch the news. I know people that will convince themselves, I understood what they're saying. Yeah, I understood that word and they made like this and they know the whole story and they got the whole thing wrong. That's us in our own lives, that we are completely in denial of how ignorant we are in understanding because we can't yet. So what do we do with all that? Oh. So the nekuda is that our part, our avoida, is to make an effort to stop repressing. That is on me. To make an effort to stop projecting and to make an effort to be less in denial. Which will make things a bit overwhelming. My avoida is to allow myself to tolerate that which is difficult to tolerate. I'm not talking about looking for problems. God forbid. Chas v'shalom. I'm talking about poshut life. Being more present in my life, which I many times will not be because I'm repressing and I'm projecting and I'm in denial and I'm doing that to protect myself. And because I think all of us, especially in the Western culture, we were badly educated. We heard somewhere very young that things are meant to be experienced as good, when we should have been told we are meant to live life. Like live life. What's that stupid expression? Play hard, work this, play that. In a good way. Hard. In other words, not about, you don't like boring? Okay, so live. You don't have to do anything for things not to be boring. If you would be present in what's going on today in your life, be not boring. What you do is that you ignore this, you look away from that, you repress that, you suppress that, you project this, then everything is boring. So then you have to look for new tzaddas. You have to look for new things. You look for new advantage because it's not happening. Who is it happening? Right? People say things to you. If you would understand what they're saying, mustamad, the half of it is so insulting. So insulting, everyone to each other. It's based on the premise that they think that you're stupid and that they think that you're not capable and ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And on top of that, they're not even honest with you. So they cover it up. Deep down, we know that. We don't want to look at it. We try to make everything look nicer than it is. And we're living in a world of shekhar because of that. We're not living with what is. And everything is off. Everything is mishuga. Someone even said that the ultimate healing is the ability to cope with what is. You know, it's not healing means it's feeling good. You're going to get there. You're going to get there. Because when we really understand what's happening, that's what we say. In the future, we're going to thank God for everything that happened. It's not going to be a forced thank you. We're mamish going to see. But in order to get there, we need to stop distorting to make it feel okay, or distorting to reaffirm my ignorant narrative. We're very good in watching the Western world, right? They focus on this, right? Everything in Israel, they present everything distorted because they have their story. We see it with them, and we get angry at them, and we should, because they're the shoyim. But what they're doing, I'm doing to me, in order for me to allow myself live my narrative, which isn't even good for me, just it's easier. It's my way out. Right? You understand what I'm saying? We all do this. The healing, now this is the key, I want to come to Yad Moshe Ve'Aaron. Healing comes from God. Healing comes from God. Real healing. Our part is to be open to the truth. When we become the healers, by making the truth distorted so it should feel good, we're off. Then we're not even open to God's healing because we're denying what's happening in the name of, I'm making things better. Like, what is taking drugs? Things are very painful. So I'm going to medicate myself. I'm going to get drunk. That's the opposite of healing. The way to do it, my part of my inner journey, is to make a big effort to the best that I could not to repress and not to project and not to deny, which means to live with the emes. In the world of Asiya, I'm living with the emes. In the world of Yetzirah, I'm living with the emes. In the world of Bria, I'm living with the emes. Emes is like a is like the keli for everything. And it's going to be overwhelming. And now I turn to God and I say, God, I need help. And I don't want to get into the details of what Moshe is and what Aaron is with greater detail. Just a few droplets. Moshe represents the Torah. And Chevra, this is what the Baal Shem Tov used to do. The Baal Shem Tov used to, you know, he was the one that did the book. You had a question, he opened up a chumash and he told you the answer. Torah is specifically connected to the world of Bria in this context. If I want to understand better what's happening, a person that's better connected to the Torah will understand better what's happening. Almost to the point that when the Baal Shem Tov himself wanted to know, he would open up a chumash and read and he would know. There was words. There is a light that allows you to see from one end of the world to the other, that light that was in the beginning of creation, and Hashem put it in the Torah. When people turn to a Yid that learns Torah day and night, and they're asking for guidance in this context, what they are asking is that I don't understand what's happening. I don't even know what, tell me what's happening. And the more a person is connected to the Torah of Moshe, and it's connected to the Moshe, he did that, the more that person will have deeper insights as to what is. Like even when it comes to halacha, so we want to know whether this is kosher or not. That's just to shed light what is. This is good, that's not good. Why wouldn't I know it? Because I'm illiterate. How would I know it? I don't know enough to know that. Like, how did Avraham Avinu know on his own the mitzvahs? I don't know. He knew a lot more than I did. I'm ignorant. I don't know. I need someone to tell me. Because I know that I don't know. Now, if I think I know, I'm not going to reach out for someone to tell me. Torah is specifically connected to clarifying what is. Aaron was the Jew more than Moshe Rabbeinu that was able to properly love every single other. Loving, not loving, and tolerating what should not be tolerated. That I know how to do, that we know how to do. That's our challenge. When you love someone, you overlook. Aaron knew how to love and care for them, and somehow love them when needed in a gevuradik way. Love them by reprimanding them. Loving them by telling them what they're doing is wrong. Knowing when they're not ready to hear that, like by the ego. Like he was the man more than any other Jew that he knew how to rectify his emotions. And he, for his neshama forever, if a yid will begin with the premise that what I'm feeling might be mine, might be yours. Sometimes I feel your feelings. Do you know that? People around you put their feelings into you. Mamish. And you do it to them. People that are sensitive, they'll walk into a room with you. If you're in a very not good emotional state, they're going to get dizzy. Do you know that tzaddikim, they cough. When there's some major dysfunction in the room.
The detox. Like, the cough isn't
Not their cough. The Rebbe said it about himself almost. And the Rebbe coughed the whole time.
The whole time.
But this is a concept, mystical. That means when people that are very in touch with what is, you walk into a room, there's a lot of you're trying to cough it out. You see that? There you go. That was not yours. That was mine. That's how it works. So my part, my work, is to have the humility. These are big ideas. To own the fact that I spend a lot of time, it happens automatically, we began repressing, projecting, and denying to make my life more comfortable. That's my drug. Don't take drugs. It's not good. You're closed from healing. You need to get healed. What do I need to do? It's amazing. It's not what I need to stop doing. I need to stop repressing. I need to stop projecting. I need to stop denying. I have to catch it when I do it. It can take a person 100 years to get there. The problem will be is, if you want to call it a problem, oh my God, why do you think I was repressing? I don't want to feel guilt. You're telling me to feel guilt? I can't take it. We have to learn. Now we're bigger. We have to learn how to endure. Let's use that word. Learning how to endure is so important. Not to put yourself into tricky. And by the way, great feelings are also hard to endure. Great feelings. They are overwhelming. It breaks us down. You should know that. Every day, cry. Tears is when you something in your life is overwhelming. One way, tzaddik coughs. One way is to cry. And you cry for good and cry for bad. You're being overwhelmed. It's too much. Too much is good and bad. Like, oh, I can't take it. It's too much. The word tzaddikim, that they wanted to have certain feelings to God. And they were told that you're not ready for this. And they insisted. And they had a breakdown.
What does a breakdown mean meant for tzaddikim? What is
it
that?
It means the same thing it means by us.
But what does it mean? Crying? Coughing?
No, that's externalizing.
What's the breakdown?
I'm going to give you a symptom, which is easier, at least for me, to explain. Positive or negative? Let me speak about the negative. It's more relatable, even though it's really in the positive. If things are very difficult in one's life, but somehow they're getting through it, because they are employing, let's say, immature coping mechanisms. And if they have no better way, good for them. Right, they're getting through. I want to understand, why is it that the same challenge of yesterday, I managed to get through my day, and it could be that today, I can't anymore. What happened? Right? We all had that. Doesn't matter the age. Sometimes a person said, I can't do this anymore. And you ask them, okay, I get it. It's very difficult, but it was difficult yesterday. What happened?
The willpower.
I'm going to call that a breakdown. Good. You know, there was something that they were using that helped them. That broke. And they cannot function. When a person has a real breakdown, they can probably cannot even get out of bed.
That's not depression?
Doesn't have to be depression. It can be any other. It can be so anxious I can't get out of bed. Not depression. I know that they're related. A person can be so angry, God forbid, no one should know, so angry that they don't trust themselves to go out. That's not depression. That's not anxiety. That's anger. We're so irritated that when we get old, you know, the best thing for me now is to stay indoors because I'm going to be angry at everyone. And I can go on and on and on and on. So the question is, what happened yesterday? Yesterday, your inner, non-thought-out mechanisms of coping were broken down. That's more accurate than just to say your willpower ran out, because your willpower never runs out. It's infinite. Mamash.
Well, maybe because you decided that the pain that you feel is greater than dealing with the issue itself.
And the pain that you, why wasn't that pain felt yesterday? Because you repressed it yesterday. We're saying the same thing. Not because yesterday there was less pain. Yesterday, I was not aware. I was not looking at it. I was not aware of it. I repressed it. Sometimes, when the pain is repressed, you know what it does? It grows. And sometimes I consciously stop repressing. I want to go back. We have that power. We speak much. I want to go back. I want to think about my churban. I want to go back and think about it. And I know that when I'm going to do it, I'm going to be in a very bad place. I'm doing it on purpose. There was a time and a place to do that. The fact that we are in mourning, what are we going back to the mourning? The temple was destroyed 3,000 years ago. Enough. We have enough tzaddas. So we had the Holocaust, but to go back and think about it, there is a time for that, yeah. Because it wasn't fully experienced. And it came here for a reason. And the reason we'll see if we won't be in denial. There is something in everything. We don't see, because the moment it doesn't look good, we deny that it's there. We misinterpret it. And if I would do it the right way, ultimately it would tell me something that I need to know. I'm not saying any chedushim, I'm just saying the words.
Isn't that about perspective though?
If sure.
I go back, it can be like, oh, I learned 15% of the material instead of missing 85.
Not only that, maybe you learned more, you just don't know it yet. And maybe the 15 that you learned, you didn't learn yet. In other words, the Torah ultimately is here to give us the right perspective. And I need to know that without this gift that is beyond me, there's very little that I can know. I'll do my best, but I know very little. Deep down, if I wouldn't be arrogant, I would be fine with it. But deep down, we're very arrogant. So I don't know. What are you talking? I understand exactly. I understand that person. We always have that. Don't convince. I know exactly that person. Maybe you don't. But the truth is, I can say to myself, I'm humble. We all say that. We're so arrogant. Just we say the mantra, no, I'm humble. Someone was telling me Shabbos. Good word. Someone gave me a sponsor of the Kiddush, and he didn't want an Aliyah, and he didn't want to be announced. I don't want COVID. So I asked him that if I will outlive you by your hesped, by your eulogy, I will eulogize you. Can I say that I remember many years ago you sponsored the Kiddush and you didn't want to be recognized? That was you. Would you want for me to say that? Be honest. He says, I think so. Sure. So why did he want COVID? He wants the COVID that he doesn't want COVID. You know, we all want COVID. We just don't own it. We're in denial. That's the joke. If we're humble, we can laugh at it. If not, we'll cry. You can have a person that goes the whole life and they don't want COVID, and be'emes, oh my God, do they want COVID. Their dream is for someone to realize how much they don't want COVID. And then yada, 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 yada.
What part of you said that you're humble?
Huh?
Not the humble part.
Not the humble part. There you go. There you go. But I'm saying, but it takes a lot of honesty. And we all have that. We could be honest. I would word it, the reason why it takes a big effort to be really honest is because it's very painful when we're honest. It's painful. We distorted it, not because we were born liars on purpose, because it's overwhelming. It's coping mechanisms. Some people don't want to look at what they're thinking, so they put on loud music the whole time. They're moving, they're going. And you tell them, Shabbos, go be on top of a mountain by yourself. They'll say, no. I'm afraid. They're afraid to be there with themselves. Mamish, many people, terrified. And they're going to have to sooner or later do that. And taka, be afraid and be terrified and then be ashamed. And be this, and be that, and be happy, and be surprised, and be this, to get to the end of the journey. And when we are open to the emes, it's so overwhelming. If I'm not using my copenesis, God gave us gifts that help us along the way. And the biggest gift in this maimed is Moshe and Aaron. We connect to Aaron in this maimer through davening. Because davening is the temple service and Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. In other words, now, what does it mean? Like, I don't have Moshe, I don't know what he looked like. It means that this is the intent. There's learning Torah because I like learning Torah. Learning Torah because it's a mitzvah. Learning Torah because I know that I pashut don't know. I don't know what's happening. The Torah will enlighten me. How it happens, it's magical. Magical. No, there is a place for a Jew to say, the fact that I learn about this topic today, I mean, it's all from God, but it came from the Torah because there was something that I needed. I can tell you every day in the Gemara. I can go almost every day what I learn and I see it in my life. And it's not delusional. That's an avoida, that everything is hashgacha pratis, everything. But with the Torah, it should be easier to see. We use the Torah to push it, no. And without it, at least to own the fact that I understand very little, it's very difficult. The problem is difficult. It's difficult to make decisions. Smarter people have a harder time making decisions. Mamash. What did Shlomo HaMelech say? Marba chachma, marba dago. I think he said that. Or the more smart you are, the more worry you have. People think they're courageous. Stama, they're stupid. Right? Many times. I'm not saying all the times. I'm saying many times you're not seeing an act of courage, you're seeing an act of stupidity. The people that can do bungee jumping, either they're courageous or they're stupid. My mother would agree to that, even though I would love to go. So I don't care which one. But yeah, sometimes, like, yeah, I'm courageous. No, you're not. You don't understand what you're getting into. It's from a lack of knowing. But it's very hurtful to see myself as being really not understanding. I can't cope with that. So my part of the avoda, the effort of being more truthful, no one will do for me. That's the bottom line. That's my part of my journey. But when I become more truthful, I'm going to face whatever it is that forced me to employ my drug of repression, of rejection. And for that, Hashem provides different gifts. So when we leave Mitzrayim, we need to look to Moshe and Aaron to help us along the path. Because we cannot do this on our own. If we're doing it the right way. And this is part of our journey. Part of our journey is what we do. I know that. That's a whole different topic. And for that, a person can be mamish messed up. And they can do the biggest thing. You should know that in the world, the people who accomplish the most, it doesn't mean that they are inwardly the greatest people. Lav nafka. Doesn't have to be that way. You can have, you know, parents and kids. Kids can come from very dysfunctional parents. I don't know how. It could happen. Well, it's in the outer world, it's a whole different way of measuring. You know, we say hamasa hua ikar. There's an emes to that. Hamasa hua ikar. And then there is another world, and we have to be in both, in which, no, not hamais is not the ikar. The kavon is the ikar. It's two different journeys. The Alter Rebbe writes, it's two different journeys. You don't have to, it's not either or. We need both. We have to know when. And in the inner world, there's also, what is my part? What is my part? My part is to try to get to the truth, which many times is not to do, is not to do. Don't repress. Like, push it. Don't project. Don't deny. And my inner world is going to go crazy. It's going to go, ooh. It will become very exciting and very big. It will become. And I'm going to need help. And I cannot help myself. And yes, it's all from God. Correct. But there's specific channels through which God helps us. Because I don't have access to God the way I would want, the way we will have. Now I have a Torah. Amazing. God gave me the Torah. God gave me a siddur. I mamash have it. And it's a whole different kavan. Like, there's got to learn because it's a mitzvah. Got to daven because it's a mitzvah. Or a person is on a journey. And they feel a lot of overwhelming feelings. And they talk to God through the siddur. And that will be a big help to them. not the way they think they're going to be helped, but they're going to be helped by it. That would be a beautiful way of appreciating davening. All right. L'chaim. Amen.